Welcome to Christ's Blessing on this day of February the 4th, 2018. And I am celebrating my birthday today. So I'm going to pass along my blessings to all of you and wish that all the goodwill being sent my way will flow through me and to each one of you as well. So it's a happy day for me. And I hope that we can make it a happier day for you. So we would like, as always, to open our call with our community. And I see that Stormy is on the line. Hello, Stormy.
Yes, Glenda. A man carried my groceries out this morning to my car, and he asked me to have a blessed day. In his voice, I thought, was as strong as your entire network. And isn't it just that simple?
Yes, it is. It really is that simple. And because of the work we are all doing, the concept of blessing is becoming more widespread. Have you noticed how many people close their letters now with blessing or mention blessing in the course of a conversation? This would have been unheard of 10 years ago. Blessing would only have been used in a specifically spiritual context, and even then with some special reasons. Now it's become something we offer to each other as a way of life, and I think it's such a big difference. It makes a difference in the way we look at the world.
Yeah, 100 years ago we used to do this, and then we changed a little bit, and it's coming back to its full circle again.
Yes, everything goes in circles, doesn't it? But every time it does, the circle gets bigger, and I like that part of it.
There you go. Yeah, I stepped out of the circle a long time ago. I'm not even anywhere near the box.
Okay. Well, that's kind of ironic, circles and boxes. But anyway, Stormy, thanks.
In that line of conversation, I'm really amping up my angelic energy this year.
Okay. Very good. I'm going to
take it. I'm different.
Yes, indeed you are, and thank God for it. I'm going to take a call from Anthony or Tony. Or Judy, whichever one is on the line. Hi.
Hi. Jen.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. Gosh, I'm just exceedingly grateful for the classes that you do, especially. Also, our friends that we've been praying for, Tiger and Laura, they're really going through some big challenges with Laura's cancer treatment. But there's been quite a number of positive and helpful developments, and she's gotten some treatment that's very recently that's been helpful. So we want to acknowledge, you know, God and our communities for the prayers and the blessings, because these guys certainly seem to need it, and they connect with it, and they're benefiting from it. I just wanted to also just say, I'm just really looking forward to your classes this year, Glenda. The wonderful thing about them is that it's a nice experience with you and also with other people that connect on the classes. We love the classes and the jam sessions. Yeah. So we're both big fans of that. And I think anyone who gets a chance to participate in those things, they already know. But if they haven't, I want to encourage you because we have some wonderful discussions and there's a lot of really wonderful discovery and sharing that happens as a result.
Thanks, Tony, for that. And yes, there's so much more that we can say in these seminar conferences than can be put in a brief Sunday message. I like to bring the highlights into our Sunday message, as you know, and give the benefit of our pinnacle experiences there, but it's so important to have support from a community and to have an opportunity to percolate with these thoughts and these truths to really create a perfect brew in your consciousness so that you grow into the awareness.
One yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and also one other thing I have been wanting to say, like, for ages and haven't, and that is that if you have any of you who have Christ sent, for the blessing is a wonderful time to use it, because I think the whole world is finally discovering the powerful effects of essential oil, because it's now being used as an alternative healing method by so many holistic practitioners. It's now being acknowledged as one of nature's medicines. But one of the interesting things about it is that when you use it, it is so small in its molecular size, it crosses the blood-brain barrier and actually goes to the hypothalamus. If you put it on the back of your neck at the base of your brain, it goes directly into the hypothalamus. What's so special about that is that it opens up your third eye. It opens up all of your spiritual centers. And I really think that this is why he gave us this. He gave me the formula to make this essential oil. I made it out of love because that's what I smelled when he was with me. But I didn't know how to do it, and it had never been done before. I talked to so many aromacologists, and they would look at me like, what? What did you just say? And I finally realized I was going to have to learn about aromatherapy myself, because no one was going to be able to create what I had sensed. But since that time, it has been just miraculous. And it's not so much that the essential oil itself is miraculous. What's miraculous is the link it establishes or helps to confirm between you and him. The link is already there, but we don't open our spiritual eyes very often. We don't open our spiritual ears very often. And even though we have feelings in our heart, we don't very often go into the depths of our sacred heart, where we just simply surrender to the presence of God and the will of God in our life. And that's, of course, what our first seminar of this new year is going to be about, learning to see the will of God in your life, learning to see the will of God playing through the events in the world, learning to see and recognize the will of God in any event that might be a mixture of possibilities, as most events are, so that we can make the best choices for our life. So thanks, Tony, for your comments, and I know they are well earned because you've been on almost all of our seminars, maybe all of them.
Thank you. It's fun.
Welcome. And I see Eva's on the call. Hi, Eva.
Hi, yeah, this is Eva. Yes, I want to first thank you all for the blessings for my Peace Pilgrim class, which has been going very well. And we have one more to go. And I've been very helped myself by, again, studying Peace Pilgrim's life and trying to find more of that peace myself, and hopefully being able to convey that into more of the world and the church, which I'm a music minister at. But then this morning, while I was just elected to the board of the UMC church, which I attend, and I had quite a different feeling because get into the legalism of things and the person who's the chairman, as soon as I walked into the room, almost I could feel as though I was up against a brick wall. So I really would like to ask a blessing for that, for myself and for others on the board, because it's definitely divided. And even though the pastor's sermon this morning was very good and trying to bring unity, talking about the Apostle Paul and how he talked to the Corinthians and told them how much they needed to have unity, and this is what he was encouraging us to do. But I get to the meeting after the church, and it was like, okay, this is not unity. So blessings for us there. I would appreciate it.
Yes, Eva, you know, you've brought up a very important point that I think we all need to be mindful of. And there, in anything, whether it's our business, our family, some worthy cause or political agenda or our church, we all humans have a tremendous confusion between conformity and unity. Unity comes from the inside out. Conformity is from the outside in. Conformity takes all the bits and pieces that don't quite look the same and get out our crayon book and try to make them all the same color.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is looking for that place that drew us together in the first place. That impulse, that desire, that love, that reason for being that called us together. To feel, again, the calling. That's what unity is. And, you know, I think it's so important, not just in larger groups of people, but let's say in a marriage. Marriages can get kind of boring. After a number of years, they can. Even the best of marriages can. Why? Because we go through the same routine every day. We get up, we have the same thing for breakfast. We go to work, or we do what we do the same every day. We come home, we do what we do after work the same every day. And pretty soon, the routine becomes the conformity. And if one of us in a partnership breaks that routine, we go, hey, what's wrong? And what we need is just to fall in love again. It's as simple as that. Come from the inside out. Because, you know, these patterns and these conformities will happen. Why? Because they're convenient and they're predictable. And for those who are controlling, they're easy to manipulate. They're easy to manage, to use a little bit nicer word. They're easy. Conformity is easier to manage than unity is. Because unity can actually have a drifting center. You might have been in a group of people where at one point, it was all about one thing, and then it shifted just a little bit to being about another, and a different person was the PowerPoint in that shifting emphasis, and then it shifted again, and a different person was the PowerPoint in that shifting emphasis. But it was never about control or management. It's just that for 3 months, there was a choir program, and so the choir and the choir leader was the PowerPoint, shall we say. And then it was about summer camp and family gatherings. And so other PowerPoints existed. That's unity. But conformity is what gets written up in the Constitution and reviewed by the Board of Trustees.
Yeah, the bishop has... I get the newspaper from the UMC Church, and the bishop has had several articles in the last couple, which I really appreciate. He apparently is working to get rid of the legalism, because he said the Methodist Church, as a denomination, is like a corporation of legalistic things, and it's not a church. And we need to come back to church, and that in their conferences, there's so much discussion, so much percentage of discussion and is the legal part. And he said this is not the way to go. And was explaining that their book of laws or whatever, which were made initially in the church, was basically the Wesleyan beliefs about how to serve Jesus in B. And now, and it was a little book which was 3.5 by 5 with 200 pages, and that included hymns and liturgy. And now the church has a 5 by 9 book with about 600 or some, 800, I forget how many pages, no liturgy, and it's all about the laws. And he said, this is not church. And so I'm hoping that he will be able to bring about some change in that way. So at least there are people working for it. And so if we continue to bless it, hopefully it will turn around and become again the church that Jesus wanted us to be.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I hope that that will happen for you. And if it doesn't happen externally, the members of the church can do it internally.
Yeah, that's the, you know, what some of us are trying to do. It's just, it's a little bit difficult when you're in that situation. I said, I talked to one of the other women and I said, well, it was so nice in the peace classes. We were having great times of peace and enjoyment and feeling really good. And this was kind of like an opposite thing. And I said, uh-oh, I guess there's more that I need to learn about getting to that higher level of peace myself, because I really had difficulty this morning in that meeting retaining the peace which I was feeling on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, I understand. Well, go for it, Eva. Make it happen. And,
well, I'm hoping so. With your blessings, I think that will be a great help. Thanks so much.
You're so welcome. And I'm going to take a caller from area code 413. You're on.
Hello, this is Sarah from
San Francisco. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, such a beautiful, glorious day here, sitting in the sun. And I just want to send you birthday blessings, Glenda. You are such a blessing to this earth. And, yeah, we all love you so much. I love you so much. And I love the oil so much. I just told the community last week about this beautiful conception blessing growing inside of me. And I just right now rub some oils on my neck and on my belly, and I just feel so good.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Baby will love it. There are a few essential oils, though, that are not safe for pregnancy. And I so read on our website, because I've made it very clear on everyone. Okay?
Okay, perfect. I definitely will do that. And I have your seminar, too. I'm going to go back and listen to that one, the essential oil seminar.
Yes, do that.
Okay, I will. Thank you. And, yeah, I just wanted to ask for a special Christ blessing today. For healthy families, calling in a blessing for all of the families and for all of our health and happiness. And I want to then ask also for Christ's support and blessing. Just as I let go of things that don't serve me, like a critical voice, the things that I don't want to bring to my baby and I don't want to carry anymore. So I just want to ask for help for letting those go and releasing those. And I ask for Christ's blessing to take those and help me release those.
Okay. I've got your name on the list, and we will do that.
Oh, thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. And I just want to say something also about our blessing seminar that is scheduled for March 24th and 25th. If any of you have sensed a calling, listen to it, because there will be so much revealed that you will use in your daily life. Even if you don't choose to be a blessing conveyor, the thing is, we all, as children of God, were created to be a blessing to one another, because we are all fragments or identical twins on a soul level of the essence of God. We only differ on the physical and social and age level and ethnic level, but that brings a wonderful diversity. But on the soul level, we're basically identical twins. And we all live in this amazing field of open, undivided space. It's only in the material and social world of diversity that division and separation have ever happened. There is 99% of all that is in the 99% of all that is in the quantum field from which light first emerged. And the unifying factor of that field is the essence of how prayers work, how blessings work. You've probably been either heard about or received the benefits of or participated in some kind of group blessing, maybe a group prayer, been part of a prayer circle, or felt that you were the recipient of prayers that were made collectively. And you might have thought, how does this happen? How does it come to me? I wasn't there, but I felt it. I wasn't there, but I got the benefits of it. What was this all, how did this happen? What was this all about? Well, it's just like Yeshua said to his disciples, wherever two of, or more of you are joined, I am there. Because he lives in this undivided field. Now think about it. If 99% of all existence is undivided and not subject to separation or division or even diversity, and that's where he lives, why couldn't he be with all of us at the same time? And he is. The problem is, we get so focused on our little niche and the problems associated with our little niche in the material created part of the universe that we lose our path home. We lose our ability to go home consciously and still be in this world. We think we can only go home when it's our time to pass over, or we left home when we were born. But as Yeshua said, I am in the world, but not of the world. In other words, he's got one, even when he walked on the earth, he had one foot on each side of creation. And he submitted to the complete loss of his connection in the material universe. And then projected it as a living image from the quantum space of infinite life, eternal life, and has been teaching us how to do that little by little by little for 2,000 years. Now, we're pretty slow learners. It's taken us a long time to catch on. And most people work pretty hard to stay in the material world. That's where they think they feel the most comfortable, but it's where all the problems are also. And it really helps to have one foot in one side and one foot in the other, just as Yeshua did. And it helps us to know how to receive prayers, to offer prayers. He was very, very reluctant to teach his apostles how to pray. They asked him over and over again, and he just kind of deflected and give them, he'd give them a metaphor. He'd give them a parable. And usually it was about a seed, or if not about a seed, it was about the kingdom of heaven. those were two of his favorites, and the third was about repent. And all three of these parables that were the most common to him, they all have to do with getting us over to the other side while still living. Okay. A seed, he just wanted them to plant a seed. It's enough just to plant a tiny, tiny little mustard seed over here in quantum space. That's all it takes. Just the tiniest little belief, the tiniest particle of faith. Because from that seed, a great tree can grow. Okay, the kingdom of heaven, he wanted them to stop seeing it as a product of separation. In other words, it's not somewhere you go to after you die or you left when you were born. It's not somewhere else. It's not on the other side of division. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And how could he say that? Because 99% of what's in you is quantum space. He knew that. He wasn't a quantum physicist because he didn't need it. He knew the whole truth without requiring a science lab to discover it. Repent. What's that all about? It's not about saying, oh, I'm a poor, sinful person. I have to give up my ways and return to God. Repent is be right where you are and turn around. Just have a different attitude. Face a different direction. Have a different orientation in life. Be inside the bliss that is also there. This is what the Buddha discovered after years and years of starvation and beating himself up and striving and struggling and denying himself and going through all kinds of painful rituals. He discovered that the best place to find bliss is right where you are. Just stop in your tracks. Turn around from facing into the world of problems, into the world of bliss. And the irony is you find it was there all along. I promise you, you come to the Blessing Seminar, and you will walk away with that understanding for the rest of your life. And because you have it, just as you walk among your fellow human beings, you will give them a blessing without having to do anything else. So if you feel the calling, come. If you've read the letter, you've been called. If you're showing up here on Sundays, you've been called. If you're feeling the blessings of Christ in you, you've been called. You've been called to understand and live in the 99% of who you are, because that's where all the answers are. The answers really do not exist in that 1% we're struggling with. Have you ever noticed that when you take a prescription medicine, you read about it online and it will tell you about all the side effects? All the things that can, the residual things that could happen from taking that medicine. Have you ever discovered that when you pay one bill, you can't pay another bill? Have you ever discovered that when you solve one physical problem, like you repair the plumbing in the kitchen and water backs up in the bathroom, there are no solutions in the material universe? They don't exist. So how do you fix the plumbing in the kitchen without it backing up in the bathroom? It's very simple. You reduce the pressure. You reduce the pressure on the whole situation. It seems like a miracle. Have you ever noticed that you can hire one plumber and he fixes everything and he only had to do one thing and everything was fixed? You hire a different plumber, he fixes one thing and then everything else starts breaking? Okay. That's the difference I'm talking about. One plumber was operating in both dimensions. The plumber where everything broke was trying to fix everything in the material world. Eva was talking about the problems in the church. Why are there problems in the church, of all places where there should not be problems? Well, they really, really started happening about 1954, when the IRS stepped into the governing of the churches and required them to be a 501c3 managed by the United States government. So records have to be kept. Boards of directors have to keep perfect records. They have to be managed and governed by bylaws. And these bylaws have to dominate the activities of the church. And everything that's done, from a little children's outing to service at an elderly home, has to be recorded. Guess what? They're doing it all from inside the material universe. As Yeshua said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give unto God what belongs to God. It's okay to be in the material world because we were born here. And we were born here to be good stewards of it. As a matter of fact, we were told when we were created that stewardship has been given to us. But we were also told to respect the seventh day and to not do anything. Now, why? Why do we do nothing on the seventh day? To remember that this is where we belong. And you can't fake it. You can't fudge it. It doesn't have to be on Sunday for you. If, you know, the world needs people to work 24/7, and Sunday may not work out for you, but there has to be some time in your life when you don't work. And you don't interface with other people that work. When you take sacred time, and that's your time to listen to music, to pray, to play, maybe to take a walk in nature. It's okay to do things, but not for the world. You do things for the other side of who you are. If you don't remember the other side of who you are, you will not be able to solve the problems in the material world. It's as simple as that. And that's why Yeshua told me, I was wondering, what will we do this year for our seminars? We've covered every blessed subject that he's ever talked about in Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua. And I thought, are we just at the end of our subjects? Will there be a seminar year? And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, he was talking to me from a different place and I wasn't listening. I had to get very, very quiet and listen, not with my ears, but to listen deeply inside my heart and to hear him pray. He was praying for me, and he was praying for me to listen in that place where prayer exists without words. That's why he didn't want to give the apostles words. But he finally did give them words that would teach them how to go there. So this year in our four webinars, I wouldn't say it's going to be an intellectual study of the Lord's Prayer, because that would keep us too much in the academic side of it all. But it's the touchstone for everything we will be doing in our webinars this year. Why he gave them those words and where those words lead and how you can be in that place without any words at all, and why it's so important to be in that place for at least a few minutes every day for at least a few hours every week and at least one day every month. You know, the Hebrew people used to have what was called a seventh year, a jubilee. Every 7 years, all debts were forgiven. And they did, in those 7 years, the least amount of work necessary. They liberated their servants, and everybody did equal work. Everybody got equal pay. They distributed all the goods equally. Every 7 years, they relieved all the stress in the pipeline. And they had one of the most brilliant, civilized cultures that has ever graced our earth. And that practice has been perpetuated in an interesting way in our universities. You might have heard in the universities how every 7 years, people who have not everybody that works there, but the professors who've qualified for tenure have a seventh year off, just free. It's with pay. They're actually paid just to take a year off. And that's to refresh their mind, to refresh their orientation, to have a chance to travel and freely study without just preparing lessons. And it's in that heritage, in that tradition. You might even think about your seventh year. All the 7 years that you've had. And what did you do with them? And where were you? And how did you celebrate? Well, it is time and past time, my wonderful friends, for our blessing today. So I'm just going to say I love you, and there are no words that can express how much I love you and how much I find peace. Pardon me. It's time for water before my blessing. And that is also something very important I would like all of you to do right now, and that is to go drink some water. Being hydrated before the blessing is very, very important. Even though we're just taking an extra minute right now, we're going to do that. Have some water because it helps energy flow so much better. It's just like the principle of don't stand in water if there's electricity around because it will find you. So pardon me for just 10 seconds. Oh, that was good. You do the same, and I am now just be seated, arms and hands and legs all uncrossed, because remember, we're flowing energy. We're flowing energy from this quantum universe that is so full of energy. In fact, one part of it could blow up the whole universe. That's how much energy is there, and it connects us all. As one person. So, be ready to receive. Just relax. Allow your attention to fall into your heart. Be prepared to pray. But first, listen to my prayer to Yeshua. And then, while we're conducting the energy, you pray the prayer of your heart. And it doesn't have to be with words. It could just be being in the place of prayer. Dear Yeshua, we strive to be like you, and we thank you for being the most perfect example for us. We praise you, we honor you, we adore you, we cherish you. And we love seeing you in our lives, wherever your blessings show up. Thank you for being with us now and always. We ask that you hear our prayers and be with us in our heart. We ask forgiveness, that we're not always in that place of love. But you understand why we've missed the point, because we're just not in that place of unity. We ask that you heal us and take us to the place where healing happens. We ask to see your love, which is always there, but sometimes we don't open our hearts and our eyes to see it. We ask that you be with the lonely, and that you be with the children, and that you be with those about ready to pass over and back home. We ask for your blessings with those who are afraid, who are so lost in chaos and war and fighting on this earth that they cannot see the kingdom of heaven within. And thank you for walking among them to give them some shred of peace and blessing. We now surrender to that which you have to offer to us today. And we thank you with all our hearts. Amen. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to finish receiving by resting and just being quiet for a little while. So, bye-bye for now. Much love, and I hope to see you next week.